Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm Carol Van Dam in Washington, and here are some of the stories we're covering today, Friday, May 18th, 2018. One Juba resident says this should be the last round of peace talks in Addis Ababa.
We really need the peace. Peace. We need peace this time. It's enough. Please let them see how much the women are suffering.
And this time, the people mediating those talks are religious leaders, not IGAD.
These issues, they are outstanding issues, are difficult for the groups to resolve, and they wanted somebody from South Sudan that is neutral, and the church is seen to be neutral, so that is why we got involved.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Peace talks among the warring parties got underway today in earnest in the Ethiopian capital in what's being called South-to-South dialogue. It's a term meaning South Sudanese talking to South Sudanese. During this round, a group of religious leaders are orchestrating the talks rather than IGAD leaders. Waki Simon Wudu reports for VOA from Addis Ababa.
Delegates here at the talks have been divided into three committees: security, governance, and leadership committees, all led by religious leaders. Officials say the intervention of the religious leaders is an attempt to build trust among the various groups. Bishop Zakaria Manyok of the South Sudan Anglican Church is chairing the security committee. Bishop Manyok says the role of religious leaders is to not take sides and to try to narrow the existing gaps.
These issues, they are outstanding issues, are difficult for the groups to resolve, and they wanted somebody from South Sudan that is neutral, and the church is seen to be neutral, so that is why we got involved.
On the prickly issue of governance, delegates are discussing power-sharing ratios and government structures. On security, delegates are considering two options: either integration of rebel forces into the South Sudan Army or unification of various forces. They are also discussing the cantoning of rebel forces and demilitarization of Juba and other major towns across the country. Ismail Weis, IGAD's special envoy to South Sudan, told the reporters today the warring parties requested IGAD to allow the various groups to talk among themselves and try to narrow their differences. Despite recent efforts by IGAD officials to do just that, Weis says mistrust remains widespread among the parties.
We are in a crossroad, and we know that the people of South Sudan really desperately need peace, and we have nothing to say no. If the South Sudanese themselves can generate the sort of peace we really wish for the people of South Sudan.
Weis says if the parties are able to narrow their differences under the mediation of church leaders, a peace deal will be in sight. Manasseh Zindo, a delegate of the SPLM-IO faction allied to Riek Machar, says before arriving in Addis, his group was unaware that religious leaders were mediating the talks.
I really doubt whether it will bring anything positive, because we already know what the problems are. We put it on the table, and it is the government that has not agreed with us really, especially on the issues of the security arrangement.
During earlier talks, the parties agreed on judicial reforms and creating a boundaries committee. Government spokesman Michael Makwe welcomes the South-South dialogue, saying it is a good opportunity for South Sudanese leaders to try to resolve their differences by themselves. But Makwe insists the government will not change its position on some of the issues under discussion.
We are saying, yes, we have created, this is a concession which we made, and we said, okay, instead of having two vice presidents, we should have three. The third vice president will be an SPLM-IO nominee, provide that is not Riek Machar. We are saying it's not Riek Machar because the working relations, what you consider number one is the working relations. The working relations between President Salva Kiir and Riek Machar have completely deteriorated. And we don't want another situation to repeat itself. We have learned hard from the case of J1, and we don't want it to happen again.
Makwe says President Kiir called Machar back to Juba not to be vice president but because he is a son of South Sudan. Pagan Amum, a member of the SPLM former detainees who is participating in negotiations on leadership, characterized the talks as positive. The South-to-South dialogue is expected to last for 2 days. For VOA News, I'm Waki Simon Wodo in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia.
Some Juba residents firmly believe this should be the final round of talks in Addis, saying they want their leaders to compromise, reach a peace deal, and end the long suffering of innocent civilians. Others believe South Sudan's leaders are not even interested in ending the war. Dimo Silva Aurelio has more on that story for VOA from Juba.
As the negotiators meet in Addis, many South Sudanese citizens, including those in the capital Juba, are keeping their fingers crossed. Juba resident Alice Michael Daban says South Sudan's leaders have been holding endless talks without even coming close to reaching a peace deal.
We really need a peace. Peace. We need peace this time. It's enough. Please let them see how much the women are suffering. Let them see how much the children are suffering. We don't want to add more people who are orphans. We don't want to add more women who are lost widowers, who are lost their husband.
President Kindu Sara fears the warring parties' large differences and rigid positions on contentious issues will block the road to peace. She urges the leaders to put the people's interests before themselves.
The two parties that are pulling rope, I want to tell them, let them put their interests aside. Let them put power issues aside and let them look at the citizens, the people who trusted in them, the powers that you're there. Because this is something very, very, very important. When you look at the interests of your people, you'll be at peace with yourself. So when you're there, don't think that I'll be like this. Think that, yes, I'm doing it for South Sudanese.
Deng Jacob Atem, a second-year student at the University of Juba, says the economic collapse caused by the war has made life unbearable for most South Sudanese families, as many people have nothing to eat.
The crisis really affects many, not only one. So my full message to those who are in Addis Ababa today, or maybe they went like yesterday, so they should focus for the benefit of the country. So many, we have lost a lot of people. So, but we cannot just be like that without solving the problems. So the root cause of this, I hope when they come back, so they come with good thing.
Juba resident Deborah Ayak says she is expecting good things to come out of Addis this time round.
We are here for peace. We are with you. So what we expect is that we need peace in our country for, like, we have the economy now. We have problems with the economy. So we are begging these people who are not willing to accept the peace. We need peace.
Some residents who did not want to be identified for fear of reprisals say they are fed up with the endless talks and believe their leaders are not interested in ending the war. For VOA News, I am Dimo Silva Aurelio in Juba.
Rebels loyal to Paul Molong are also attending that forum in Addis, and the spokesman of his group, the South Sudan United Front, says the group wants President Salva Kiir to be removed from office. Sunday Dijon says there will be no peace in South Sudan if Mr. Kiir leads any future government, and that's the message they're carrying to Addis.
Contrary to what has been mentioned as a statement from the mediators, our team is participating. What happened was, the team was dispatched on the later dates when the arrangements were already in place. So the individual that reached there, the head of the team, was there much earlier and is now part of the negotiation. Meanwhile, the mediators are preparing for the permit. There are processes to be made. There are certain cards and other things to be done for you to be part of the negotiation so that you can enter, sign, and go in. So those have not been formalized with the other group members who went there, just some as yesterday on Wednesday, some on Thursday. So they actually went late. That is the factor. It's not that our team has been rejected. Nobody rejects somebody that is seeking for peace.
Your team was there during the security workshop. That was 3-4 days before the commencing of the negotiations. I mean,
it is not actually our team. It was one member of our team that was there during that briefing. And he is currently a member of the negotiation process.
And how many people did you send to Addis Ababa?
We have sent 5 people.
And so these 5 are all going to be part of the negotiation team. Is that what you're telling me?
Yes, if the paperwork is completed, the other 4 will enter. 1 is already there.
Tell us a little bit about the position of your group. What do they want?
Well, what our group want at the talk is peace. And we have from time to time been mentioning that for peace to return to South Sudan, the only obstacle that is impeding peace process for this long is the presence of Salva Kiir in the leadership. If he is accepting to be negotiated out peacefully, he should quit so that peace comes to the country once again. That's the best solution. It's not a matter of positions and all this. Those positions only serve to the interest of those that will be given. But that is not the interest of the major South Sudan. You see, people are in the refugee camps. If I'm given a position today, would they come out of the camps? And also the ones in the protection sites, they don't come out because I have been given a position. They come out because there are no guns, there are no hungry people, there are no people here and there trying to destroy their lives. And that has to be a peace that is vital to all.
Help me to clarify this. The position of the South Sudan United Front is that Salva Kiir must go.
Yeah, exactly. He's one of the positions. There are about 11 in our position paper that we have mentioned that should be done for South Sudanese to realize that peace is actually at home.
But why are you singling out one person when there are other people who are also part of this problem?
Those are Kiir surrounding. Once you remove Kiir, of course they will follow him.
Is it really easy to remove President Kiir? I mean, it sounds like a daydream.
Kiir himself is a human being. If he doesn't want South Sudanese to suffer further, he can step down. Is it difficult? If you see your people suffering and you are patriotic and nationalistic in that aspect, would you not go down? That's one way. The other way is no man is too powerful to retain his position by force against the entire nation. That's not possible. So there is a possibility for him to go. Why is it difficult? It's a matter of writing a resignation letter, and it is possible.
This is what your team is proposing to IGAD, that the only way peace can come to South Sudan is if President Kiir is removed.
That's one of our positions. And even the mechanisms of governance should also be rectified so that South Sudanese could go for the right governance compared to the current one, where one man is beating everybody, subjecting people to sufferings of all sorts.
That's Sunday Dijon, spokesman of the rebels of the South Sudan United Front. He was speaking with my colleague John Tanza from Nairobi. A visiting fellow at the U.S. Institute for Peace says IGAD and other mediators must develop proposals that take into account the needs of the warring parties. Ali Vergi says the political dispute in South Sudan is complex.
In my view, there is a classic bargaining problem here, which is if you have one party with one position and the second party with a second position, neither side can make concessions without there being a neutral third party intervener. Because if I make a concession, if I'm the first party and you're the second party and I make a concession, you think you can push me further. You the signal I send to you is that I'm willing to concede. So you might read that as saying I'm willing to concede more or I'm going to push for more. And so really what would be an effective for IGAD to do would be to actually say, well, these are the contending positions of the parties. Here is a compromise that doesn't give any party everything, but it might address certain issues in a way that is more favorable to one party. And then on another issue, it's more favorable to the other party. And that way everybody gets something. Without that kind of process of bargaining and negotiation and mediation, it's going to be very difficult for any gaps to be bridged. So there is that difficulty there as to whether IGAD is an effective mediating body because of its inability to table a workable compromise on any of the issues that remain outstanding.
Why is IGAD experiencing this problem? I know that some analysts within the region have accused some members of the IGAD of siding with Juba openly, for instance,
sure.
Uganda, Kenya, and Ethiopia have been accused of siding with Juba. Is this part of that problem?
I think it's a two-level problem for IGAD. So at the first level, at the mediation level, the special envoy level, the people who are facilitating this dialogue process, facilitating the high-level revitalization forum, do they have the authority to offer those compromises? Some of these things are not really anybody's business other than the business of the South Sudanese. But what is important for a mediation is to say, well, look, you have this position and you have that position. How about this third position or this fourth position or this fifth position, which might address enough of both sides or all sides' views? So one question is whether they have the ability and the authority to do that. And then certainly at the higher level, at the political level of ministers and states, is it possible for those parties, those countries involved, to not take a view on certain questions? Or is it important for the mediation to reflect those views so that the position of Kenya or Ethiopia or Sudan or Uganda is necessarily reflected there? And that is where you have then a problem, because, of course, currying favor and trying to get the approach and the opinion of all the neighboring countries in there, in, say, for example, what the SPLA looks like, is going to be very difficult.
That's Ali Verji, a visiting fellow at the U.S. Institute of Peace here in Washington, speaking once again to John Tanza. You're tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. More peacekeepers are being sent to South Sudan. Find out where exactly when we come back.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today.
Tell me about a time when you disagreed with a loved one. How did you handle the situation?
So what I did, I had to remain calm and see to it that I don't easily react. They say the wise one listens more and speaks less. So I listen to their quarrels or their arguments, but I keep calm. And all I say is sorry, because sorry is a small word. It's the cheapest word, but it saves a million.
For me, I'm treating her in the way you want. And you respect me and I respect her. So that's what I manage her.
When I disagree with my loved one, we always come together, talk over this the thing, and we agree on one thing so that our life, we can move on together.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. UNMISS says more troops are being sent to the area of former Unity State to try to put an end to the killing of civilians by warring parties there. The head of UNMISS says opposition and government forces in the area have committed atrocities against civilians. Nabil Biagio has the story for VOA from Juba.
UNMISS chief David Shearer says the UN wants to protect unarmed civilians in former Unity State.
UNMISS is sending up to 150 additional troops into the Unity region to boost our efforts there to protect civilians that have been deliberately targeted by warring factions and to deter further violence from occurring.
Rebels loyal to Riek Machar and government troops have been fighting in former Unity State for weeks. Shearer says the warring parties have committed atrocities against civilians in the area.
What we're witnessing on the ground is killing of civilians, the destruction of property, the raping of women, the destruction of crops and food stores in a way that will stop people from returning back to their homes and being able to continue their livelihoods.
Last month, the International Committee of the Red Cross was forced to suspend its humanitarian operations in Lehr County after the organization's compound was attacked by armed men. Shearer says thousands of civilians are fleeing intense fighting as armed forces make their way down from Koch towards Lehr. He says at least 30 villages or settlements have been attacked.
The reinforcement will allow us to reach deeper into the most remote areas where most of the atrocities are occurring. But in addition to that, will allow us to reinforce our base in Lehr, which has attracted 1,500 people, mainly women and children, who are seeking refuge there.
Shearer says the atrocities the warring parties are committing in former Unity State violate international humanitarian law and human rights law. He says the perpetrators must be brought to justice. South Sudan's army spokesperson, Brigadier General Lulroy Kwang, says UNMISS should make it clear which group is committing the atrocities.
We in the SPLA have been calling upon UNMISS whenever they release a statement for them to back up their allegations with concrete claims on where the violations have been committed, who had committed the violation, who are those alleged victims of reported violation. In the absence of all this, it would be difficult for anybody to be brought to justice because the statements are general statements that are vague.
And Kwang says the SPLA does not object to the deployment of additional peacekeepers to protect civilians in the area. SPLA in opposition deputy military spokesperson Colonel Lampol Gabriel says the atrocities against civilians came as a direct result of a government military campaign aimed at forcing the rebels out of the area. He says the SPLAIO also welcomes sending more UN peacekeepers to the region.
Sending more forces is a very good move and a very good advantage for our civilians, and they'll be able to protect them. Because really, without establishing a very strong force in Laos, this kind of atrocity will continue. So for me, it's a very good move, and I really applaud that.
Shira says UNMISS will continue to engage with local authorities and to urge the warring parties to adhere to the cessation of hostilities agreement signed by all the parties 5 months ago. For VOA News, I'm Nabil Biagio in Juba.
There are more than 7 billion people on this planet, and we all have to share it. The United Nations is shining a spotlight this week on that idea and the peaceful coexistence of a global society, which is at the heart of the UN 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development. Ayan Deng Bior reports.
Peace does not start with the signing of documents, according to Marth Ama Akay-Pobi, vice chair of the United Nations General Assembly, who told observers at a UN meeting on Wednesday in New York that dialogue among communities is the best way to create lasting peace.
A peace deal can silence the guns, but it cannot alone mend the wounds that conflict has inflicted. It cannot alone bring down the barriers people have built around themselves and their communities. And it cannot alone promote tolerance and reconciliation.
The Council on Foreign Relations has a global conflict tracker that follows hotspots around the world, the territorial disputes in the South China Sea, criminal violence in Mexico, and the conflict in South Sudan are among the 25 issues experts at CFR are looking at. The United Nations also has an eye on those same hotspots. A recent gathering at the UN looked at how these conflicts are impacting the global community.
And the United Nations has done a lot to make this world a reality. It has worked with national and local actors on reconciliation programs. It has invested in peace building. It has promoted respect, tolerance, unity, and harmony. And it has been the birthplace of some of our most important international mechanisms, from the Universal Declaration of Human Rights to the International Convention on the Elimination of All Forms of Racial Discrimination.
Pobi says the UN observed the International Day of Living Together on Wednesday as a way to stimulate efforts already underway to make the initiative a reality.
We must put particular focus on places reeling from conflict or watching as dark clouds gather on the horizon. We signed up for a world where people can live together in peace. And the United Nations has done a lot to make this world a reality. It has worked with national and local actors on reconciliation programs. It has invested in peace building. It has promoted respect, tolerance, unity, and harmony.
Pobi says although there has been significant effort to promote peace, UN members are aware that a conflict-free world is not a priority for some. Growing signs of intolerance and exclusion should push everyone to promote peace, she said. Ayan Deng Bior, VOA News, Washington.
South Sudan's media regulator has reiterated its decision to suspend UN-run Radio Maria. The media authority suspended the UN station heard around Juba and other parts of the country last March for allegedly failing to register. Today, the head of the authority announced a ban on Radio Maria journalists from attending all government press conferences in the future, as we hear from Manyang David Mayar in Juba.
Elijah Alier, the media authority boss, called news conference in Juba, where he accused Mirai Radio of failing to comply with local regulations.
This is to inform the public, government institutions, media houses, NGOs, and UN agencies that Radio Miraya 101 FM is an unauthorized radio station operated by the United Nations Mission in South Sudan. Radio Miraya has been suspended by the media authority for persistent non-compliance and refusal to be regulated under the media laws in the Republic of South Sudan.
Speaking on World Press Freedom Day earlier this month, Mustafa Samore, the deputy representative of the UN Secretary General in South Sudan, said Radio Miraya is authorized to operate independently based on the Status of Forces Agreement the government signed with the United Nations.
UNMISS values the freedom of our own journalists at Radio Miraya to report on issues related to our mandate. Radio Miraya, for us, is an essential part of our operations, and that is why it was enshrined in the legally binding Status of Forces Agreement signed between the UN and the government of South Sudan.
Alier says the Status of Forces Agreement is to pledge that UNMISS should adhere to local laws of South Sudan, which he says include laws such as registering the mission's radio station with the media authority and paying for a frequency. He called on government institutions and NGOs not to engage with Radio Miraya.
The media authority take this opportunity to inform the public and all institutions and agencies, officials, not to interact with Radio Miraya with immediate effect.
Alier also threatened to give away Radio Miraya's frequency should another media organization want it. Despite all of Alier's threats, the UN station is still on air. Alier says it is up to law enforcement agencies to shut it down. Reading from a preferred statement, Francisca Mould, the spokesperson for the United Nations mission in South Sudan, says the UN is working with the government to resolve the matter.
A positive meeting was held recently between the head of the UN mission in South Sudan, David Shearer, and the Minister of Information and Media Authority. UNMISS is continuing to work with the government to resolve the issue.
Mould did not elaborate on the outcome of that meeting. For VOA News, I'm Anyang David Mayar in Juba.
That's our show for this Friday. We leave you with the song No Beer in Heaven by Atongo Zimba.
Living in the world, my brother, living in the world, my sister, but you live in this world, you're living in the world, my mama. Some are really go hate you, some are really go love you, and some are really go hate you. Yeah, we don't want to talk about it. We don't want to talk about it. But for the youth, we don't want to talk about it. Yeah, we don't want to talk about it. Living in the world, my sister, some are really gonna love you, and some are really gonna hate you. Yeah, we don't wanna talk about it.
There is no fear. That is why we be drinking all the beer.
For when will the golden ride
to heaven? All our friends will be drinking all the beer.
We've been listening to Atongo Zimba with the song No Beer in Heaven. You gotta like that song. I'm Carol Van Dam in Washington. We're so glad you could join us today. We'd like to hear what you think about our show. You can find us on the web at South Sudan at voanews.com, or you can reach us on Facebook. Our title is South Sudan in Focus. Have a safe weekend, everybody, and we hope you tune in again on Monday for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. So when will the onion rise to heaven? All our friends will be drinking all the tea.